Welcome to day 319 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm glad you've joined me today for another journey through the Word of God. Today we are going to read from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, and then two chapters from the Gospel of John, John 20 and 21. This week we are reading from the Amplified Translation. So today we're going to hear another account, a different gospel version of the resurrection of Christ. So beginning today at Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had made ready. And they found the stone rolled back from the tomb. But when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do about this, behold, two men in dazzling raiment suddenly stood beside them. And as the women were frightened and were bowing their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among those who are dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be given over into the hands of sinful men, men whose ways or nature is to act in opposition to God, and be crucified and on the third day rise from death?" And they remembered his words. And having returned from the tomb, they reported all these things taken together to the 11 apostles and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who reported these things to the apostles. But these reports seemed to the men an idle tale, madness, feigned things, nonsense, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloths alone by themselves, and he went away, wondering about and marveling at what had happened. And behold, that very day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had occurred. And while they were conversing and discussing together, Jesus himself caught up with them and was already accompanying them. But their eyes were held so that they did not recognize him. And he said to them, "What is this discussion that you are exchanging, throwing back and forth between yourselves as you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad and downcast. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem and not know the things that have occurred there in these days?" And he said to them, "What kind of things?" And they said to him, "About Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in work and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers gave him up to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem and set Israel free. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things occurred. And moreover, some women of our company astounded us and drove us out of our senses. They were at the tomb early in the morning, but did not find his body. And they returned saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. So some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception, and slow of heart to believe, adhere to and trust in and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary and essentially fitting that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer all these things before entering into his glory, his majesty and splendor? Then, beginning with Moses and throughout all the prophets, he went on explaining and interpreting to them in all the scriptures the things concerning and referring to himself. Then they drew near the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he would go further. But they urged and insisted, saying to him, "Remain with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And it occurred that as he reclined at table with them, he took a loaf of bread and praised God and gave thanks and asked a blessing and then broke it and was giving it to them when their eyes were instantly opened and they clearly recognized him and he vanished, departed invisibly. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, and as he opened and explained to us the sense of the scriptures?" And rising up that very hour, they went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 apostles gathered together and those who were with them, who said, "The Lord really has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." Then they themselves related in full what had happened on the road and how he was known and recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Now, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself took his stand among them and said to them, "Peace, freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, be to you." But they were so startled and terrified that they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you disturbed and troubled? And why do such doubts and questionings arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Feel and handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while since they still could not believe it for sheer joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything which is written concerning me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he thoroughly opened up their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer and on the third day rise from among the dead, and that repentance with a view to and as the condition of forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised. But remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he conducted them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he invoked a blessing on them. And it occurred that while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. And they, worshiping him, went back to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, celebrating with praises and blessing and extolling God. Amen. So be it. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been removed from, lifted out of the groove across the entrance of the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus tenderly loved, and said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Upon this, Peter and the other disciple came out, and they went toward the tomb. And they came running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and arrived at the tomb first. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came up, following him, and went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. But the burial napkin, kerchief, which had been around Jesus' head, was not lying with the other linen cloths, but was still rolled up, wrapped round and round in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went in too, and he saw and was convinced and believed. For as yet they did not know, understand the statement of Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went back again to their homes, lodging places. But Mary remained standing outside the tomb, sobbing, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you sobbing?" She told them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." On saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying so? For whom are you looking?" Supposing that it was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away from here, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher or master. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me. Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Away came Mary Magdalene, bringing the disciples news, word that she had seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Then on that same first day of the week, when it was evening, though the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." So saying, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy, delight, exultation, ecstasy, rapture. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you." And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks made by the nails and put my finger into the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will never believe it." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless and incredulous, but stop your unbelief and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, do you now believe, trust, have faith? Blessed and happy and to be envied are those who have never seen me and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me." There are also many other signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, recorded, in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through believing and cleaving to and trusting and relying upon Him, you may have life through in His name, through who He is. Chapter 21. After this, Jesus let Himself be seen and revealed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And He did it in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called the Twin, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, also the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to Him, "And we are coming with you." So they went out and got into the boat, and throughout the night they caught nothing. Morning was already breaking when Jesus came to the beach and stood there. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Boys, children, you do not have any meat, fish, do you? Have you caught anything to eat along with your bread?" They answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast the net, and now they were not able to haul it in for such a big catch. Mass quantity of fish was in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Simon Peter, hearing Him say that it was the Lord, girded on His upper garment, his fisherman's coat, his outer tunic, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. And the other disciples came in the small boat, for they were not far from shore, only some 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on the land, the beach, they saw a fire of coals there and fish lying on it, cooking, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net to land, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many of them, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." But none of the disciples ventured or dared to ask Him, "Who are you?" Because they well knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so also with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed Himself, appeared, was manifest to the disciples after He had risen from the dead. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these others do?" With reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father. He said to Him, "Yes, Lord, You know that I love You, that I have deep, instinctive, personal affection for You as for a close friend." He said to Him, "Feed My lambs." Again, He said to Him the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" With reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father. He said to Him, "Yes, Lord, You know that I love You, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for You as for a close friend." He said to Him, "Shepherd, tend My sheep." He said to Him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" With a deep, instinctive, personal affection for Me as for a close friend. Peter was grieved, was saddened and hurt that he should ask Him the third time, "Do you love Me?" And He said to him, "Lord, You know everything. You know that I love You, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for You as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed My sheep." I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, when you were young, you girded yourself, put on your own belt or girdle, and you walked about wherever you pleased to go. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will put a girdle around you and carry you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." But Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to stay, survive, live until I come, what is that to you? What concern is it of yours? You follow me." So word went out among the brethren that this disciple was not going to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not going to die, but "If I want him to stay, survive, live till I come, what is that to you?" It is this same disciple who is bearing witness to these things and who has recorded, written them. And we well know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. If they should be all recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain, have room for the books that would be written. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to bring to your attention the conversation that we heard Jesus have with Simon Peter when he met them on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. When he was there and the disciples realized it was Jesus and they came in from their fishing boat and Jesus invited them to dine with him because he already had a fire going and fish on the fire broiling and bread to eat as well, and he invited them to sit with him and eat. But after the meal, which very likely was probably a quiet one, because imagine they were in shock that it was Jesus again. It says this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he had risen from the dead. And there was a period of time because the first time occurred, and then it says about 8 days later he appeared a second time. And then we don't know how long the gap was between this third appearance. But undoubtedly, the disciples were still a little bit amazed and in shock and probably ate in silence, waiting for Jesus to take the lead in the conversation. And he did. He said to Simon after they had eaten, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now that question, which he repeated three times, the "do you love me," but only in this first question did he add the words "more than these." The question is, what was he referring to when he said "more than these"? Did he mean the other disciples that were sitting there? Or did he mean the fishing boat and his nets? Because that was Simon Peter's profession, his career, if you will, before he started following Jesus to be a fisher of men. So we're not sure really what he was referring to because we were not there, and it doesn't say Jesus was looking at his boat or at the other men. It doesn't specify. The Amplified adds "more than these others do," which one would think was a reference to the other people. But let's consider both sides. Was he speaking of the people, or was he speaking of his career, his life as a fisherman, his possessions, his boat, his nets, his way of making a living? Well, let us consider both sides of that coin. First of all, consider if Jesus was referring to the other disciples. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these other disciples do? Now imagine if Jesus asked that question referring to the other disciples. Undoubtedly, Peter would have a flashback to the night that Jesus was betrayed, when Peter said, even if everybody else leaves you, I will never leave you. I'll go with you to prison and to death. So he was boasting that he was more spiritual or more devoted, more loving, if you will, of Jesus than the other disciples. So if this was a reference to the others, it would be as if the Lord was upbraiding him or rebuking him in a way, or reminding him of his lack of humility in making that statement, and then his lack of being able to actually walk it out. But I don't believe that Jesus was trying to humiliate Peter in front of the other disciples. And besides, they had been as guilty in a way as Peter, because they had all fled from the Lord when he was arrested. They may not have been the one denying him, but at least Peter had followed him to the praetorium to see what would happen, whereas the others did not, other than John. It's more likely that Jesus was referring to Peter loving him more than his close friends that he was with there. Do you love me more than you love your best buddies over here? You know, it's a requirement of a follower of Christ that we love Jesus more than mother, father, brother, sister, friend, that our devotion to the Lord is above even other human beings. That is most likely what Jesus was referring to there. That's a requirement. And do you know that Jesus was about to give Peter some very specific instructions for his ministry? He began to tell him, feed my lambs, and then shepherd my sheep, and then feed my sheep. He gave him three distinct commandments. I believe it was all part of restoring him to his position as an apostle. But do you know that Jesus doesn't want to give the care of his lambs, the younger, immature, maybe baby Christians, or the mature believers, into the hands of any person who doesn't love Jesus more than anyone else? Because it's out of a love for Christ that we will be given the love that we need to minister to other people. The love of Christ will constrain us to love the most difficult person in our lives. Jesus didn't want to give the care of his sheep into the hands of any person who didn't have a deep, fervent love for Jesus. That, I believe, is the meaning here of this line of questioning that Jesus was having with Peter. It's impossible for a pastor to love his people if he doesn't love Jesus supremely. He will never have the love of God so shed abroad in his heart that he would be able to love the most unlovely member of the congregation, the most difficult person, the most hardened sinner, the most resistant church member, the most troublesome member of the flock, if he doesn't first have a deep, abiding love for Christ. Let's consider the other potential meaning here. If Jesus was saying to Peter, or asking Peter, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these nets and this boat and this way of making a living, more than your career, more than your livelihood, more than the security that you find in your job? What if Jesus was saying that? Do you love me above everything that the earth has to offer? That's a question for every single disciple of Christ. Do we love anything on the earth more than we love Jesus? Do we love our comfort, our home, our family, our finances, our bank account, the security of our job, or anything on the earth more than we love Christ? That's a question that Jesus would ask all of us. And I believe it's only those who really love the Lord more than anything on the earth that God will give the assignment or the commission to take care of his flock to those people who have no greater love for anything on the earth than they have for the Lord, and then in turn for other people. Those are the type of people God wants to give the assignment, the commission. That's the people God will trust with his flock. Each time that Peter affirmed his love for the Lord, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," each time Jesus gave him a very specific command. The first time he said, "Feed my lambs." Now we know that lambs are the young of the sheep, and it's representative of the people who are new believers, those who are just coming to Christ. It can refer to children. God wants his people, those assigned by him to do the work of the ministry, which I would say everyone has an assignment to do the work of the ministry, because Ephesians clearly says that it's the job of the apostle and the teacher and the pastor and the prophet and the evangelist to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So that's all of us listening to these words. We have a responsibility before the Lord to feed God's lambs. Even you, if you're a young believer, you have some amount of word of God that you have taken for yourself, that you have understanding about, even if it's just the reality and the truth of God's word about salvation. You can take that word and feed it to someone else who doesn't have that much understanding. And you can feed someone who's so young that in the Lord, or just newborn in the Lord, and give that person what you know. You can help feed the lambs of God. Then the second time when Jesus asked him that question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" This time he didn't add the "more than these." He just said, "Do you love me?" And Peter, of course, replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." That second time, Jesus gave another command to him, and he said to him, "Shepherd," or "tend my sheep." Other translations say it again, "feed my sheep," but it's actually a different word in the original language that has to do with shepherding duties, not only in feeding, a shepherd feeding the flock, but shepherding and tending the sheep. Now, what other duties does a shepherd have? Well, a shepherd watches over the sheep, protects them from predators, and if a sheep is injured, picks that sheep up, takes that sheep to a safe place, and then binds up the wound, pours on the medicine needed, whatever it takes to help bind up the wound and heal up an injured sheep or lamb. "Shepherd, tend my sheep." You know, sometimes when people have fallen down, when they've become injured, when they've maybe gone off a cliff, you know, that's what sheep will often do. They'll get near the edge of a cliff because they see good green grass and they start eating that, and then they may slip down into a ravine. Now that's when the shepherd has to go, and with great strain and danger and difficulty and effort, go and retrieve the sheep that's fallen into a crevasse or gone down the side of a cliff, and he has to climb down there and even endure being hurt himself, maybe scratched by thorns, to pull that sheep back up. You know, when we have people in our lives that have fallen down, maybe they've gone off the cliff, sometimes people are like, "Well, they get what they deserve. They did that. They made their bed. They can lie in it." And we have an attitude of like, "Well, you brought it on yourself." That's not the attitude of a shepherd at all. God asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Because he needed somebody who had such a love for Christ that the love of Christ would constrain them to take care of the sheep that are injured, to really shepherd other people, really care for them when they are hurt or hurting or wounded, whether they made the mistake themselves or whether someone else created the wound in their life. Shepherd, tend my sheep. That was the second command to Peter. And then the third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter, who's upset that he asked him a third time, maybe he remembered his three times of his denial of the Lord and he was feeling the sadness of that remembrance, he finally says to Jesus, "You know everything. You know that I love you." And of course, Jesus was very intentional with those three questions. I believe he was trying to restore him, as we spoke about in a previous devotional. I believe he was giving him the opportunity to essentially cancel all the previous denials of his affiliation with Jesus by saying he loved him that third time. And then Jesus's reply this time wasn't "feed my lambs," it wasn't "shepherd my sheep," it was "feed my sheep." And that's a definite reference to teaching the word of God to even mature believers. That's a responsibility we have, sharing the word of God. This is a important teaching for us to recognize the call of God on us as believers to be watchful of other believers, to feed other young believers with the word of God that we have received from the Lord, to watch out tenderly for other people, to have a sensitivity when people are hurting, to reach out to them and not be so consumed in our own life that we only take care of ourselves and our own family. But we're watchful for other people in the flock that might be hurting, and then to share the word of God with one another. So I believe that the Lord has called all of his disciples to have a part in the ministry of taking care of one another, of feeding the lambs, of shepherding the sheep, and of sharing the word of God with one another. I do believe that God has specific, what's referred to as fivefold ministry gifts, people that were specifically called, like Peter was, to be an apostle or to be a Bible teacher or to be an evangelist or to be a prophet or to be a pastor. I believe that those gifts have been given by the Lord to the church, but we all, as disciples of Christ, have a part in the ministry, and you should consider before the Lord, what can you do to be a person that helps minister to the flock of God? Whether it's feeding the lambs, maybe you can teach Sunday school and work with children. Maybe you don't feel like you could be a Bible teacher teaching the Bible to adults, but you could share the Bible stories with little children. Feed the lambs of God. You know, many studies have been done that if a person does not receive Christ by the time they're 15 years of age, that the percentage of people that actually end up giving their hearts to Christ is much lower, that the chance of reaching people when they're young or as children is one of the best times. Now, God always can call anyone at any age, but it's important to be somebody who ministers to children. I'm saying that it's an important ministry and that there's many people in the body of Christ that could help with that ministry. Feed the lambs. Feed my lambs, Jesus said. Is that something maybe you could do? It's an important, important ministry. Shepherd, tend my sheep. Maybe you can minister to people who are hurting, whether they're sick, in prison, or in some situation in life that really needs mercy and help. That's a ministry every believer should be a part of. So God has called all of us to be a part of taking care of his flock, because what we've been given by God, we are also to freely give out. And that's a call for all of his disciples. So think about that this week, how God can use you. If you love him, He can use you to feed his lambs. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.